Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-host Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another evening of Jay Bird Watching. I don't know if you've noticed my nice little new counter behind me, but this is episode 416 of the Jay Bird Watching podcast. And this evening, I'm going to celebrate that with our special guest tonight, Liz McGuire of recent Topps baseball card fame, and I guess Bo Bichette tangent isms. But yeah, Liz, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, bud. Thank you again for having me. I feel like... Yeah. Yeah, I, you know, I'm cool, foul ball face girl, whatever you need,
the champ.
Blue Jays buddy, let's get it, number one babe, like, I'm good with it all.
There you go. So anyway, how are we doing post 114 mile per hour?
It's been, I look good, like, let's be honest, I look pretty good, I have a bit of bruising, but, like, again, I'm staying positive. Concussion, I would say, before I was like 70% broken, 30% good. Now I'm 30% broken. I'm like 70% almost there. I went to my doctor's office and I was like, I'm going to pass all these concussion tests. And he's like, Lizzie, you have like, you still have like 20 symptoms. And I was like, yeah, but before I had 60. And he was like, you fail by having any symptoms. So, no. And I still don't remember the code words they give you. And they're like, you need to remember these four words. I didn't remember any of them. But one day we will, friends.
There you go. But on that note, you got a hell of a nice new lid, it looks like, there.
Actually, I stole
you just picked that one up?
No, I stole it from my little sister. I'm at my parents' farm right now. It's the local country fair where I used to show my 4-H calf. And I'm home because I like to watch the beef show. I like the beef cattle show. And I like to watch the smash-up derby. I watch cars smash into each other. I also have entered, my friends, an essay into this fair, into the creative writing contest. The prize money is $12. And the topic of the essay is the time I almost died and got turned into a collectible.
There you go. Why wouldn't you write about that at that point? It's perfect. It's right there. It's literally right there for you, right on your mind, right? So, but on that note, glad to hear you're heading in the right direction with your process of getting better, obviously, in that piece. But on that note, let's talk about other headaches, this team.
Okay.
So what is your opinion lately?
Here's the thing. People aren't going to like my opinion, or they will. Either way, this is what I hope for them.
50-50.
I hope we don't win. This is why. This is why. Last year, when we made the wild card, my heart was broken because we weren't going to be introspective, and none of the changes I wanted made, I felt would have been made. And you know what happened?
No.
We made the wild card. We lost the both games, and none of the changes I wanted to be made were made.
Happened.
So... it's funny because I still want fun baseball. I want to watch the children play. I want to watch Springer Dingers, but man, you know, a weekend of home runs isn't going to fix what's wrong with us. It's just not. So
you're embracing the tank is kind of what I'm hearing.
The thing is like my heart. Yes. I'm embracing the tank in hopes of a better future, in hopes of a positive like change. And I'm not usually somebody who's like, you know, let's tank it. I'm always like, let's be scrappy and be resourceful and win. But at this framework of like winning, we can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Like, do you want?
There's
not
going to be a big enough change to do that instantaneously. To your point, you know, at the best, this team's a 500 level team for the rest of the season, which, to your point, puts us in exactly the dead center of the draft. Which, in my opinion, hopefully next year by this time, when we're staring the major league draft down the line, we have two new people in our front office that hopefully know how to draft.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like I'm afraid. Firstly, this team seems impervious to firing. You know, when we fired our boy Montoya, we were like 5 games under .500.
Mm-hmm. Something like right? that.
Something like that. I mean, Schneider's one of the boys. He's one of them. He's been in the system for so long. So I hope that we can still have a fun season. We can watch the children play. But at the same time, we think about the future and who we want to be.
Yeah. And right now, I don't know if they have any clue who they want to be, especially when you start hearing who is going to be not dangled at the trade deadline, who is available. It's been all over the map, and that's typical for a Blue Jay fan in all any facet at that point. They are so good at holding their cards to their chest, or they're just really that dumb and don't know what the hell's going on. I'll give you a 50-50.
I think you're right. But I think for me, I can't even see who the core of our future is.
You would think it would be the easy pick. Our guy that I named this freaking show after this evening, with the fact that Vladdy has become Vicious Vladdy again and has been peppering Major League Baseball pitchers. But on that note, I still don't know, to your point, if he's actually going to be on this team this time next year, because if we're going to sell it and rip it apart, he's probably the first card to fall, if not Bo Bichette, because those are the two biggest things that would allow us to your point, reshape the future as quickly as human possible.
That's the thing. And they have stated they don't want to trade Vladdy or Bo, but I still think they're liars. I believe the fact that they have, they're doing, season ticket renewals before the trade deadline. Like, that for me is a real big tip off. This front office likes to smile and look all shiny. I don't trust
them. Tie straight.
Yeah, tie straight. Tie straight. You know, but like, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them.
Yep. No, and I think it's funny too, because it's not even just this front office as Blue Jays fans getting that jaded with not having any clue. You can even go back to the JP Riccardi days. You can go back to the Alex Anthopoulos days. Yep. The vision of the team was always very unclear to the fans, and I think it's only gotten muddier with this front office. You just have no idea. They could sell everything tomorrow and have our whole pitching staff gone. They could have Vladdy, Bo, everybody, or they could pick a couple of key guys that they think they could get a return for. And that's the thing that still scares me the most out of all this stuff, is the fact that I don't know if you caught my conspiracy theory in the last few weeks or when I was on the walk-off podcast, but for anybody that hadn't missed this, I was speculating, and maybe this is just the weird Americanisms in me, that I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to throw a good old American conspiracy theory into this whole thing. Ross Atkins was not on the trip, but Mark Shapiro was on the trip in Cleveland. And everybody's like, oh, he was just visiting friends. Nothing's crazy. I'm sitting there. What if he's there to sell them Bo Bichette?
That's what I thought. They need a shortstop. Yeah. Hot dog guys were there. So I was like, hey, I saw you talking. I saw you talking to Mark. What did you ask him? And they didn't. They're like, no, he spotted us. And I was like, you should have shook him down. Why are you here?
And that's why I was leading you there. I was wondering if you got a hold of anybody and shook anything loose while you
were
there.
Other than the hot dog guys. No, I shook
our friends, the hot dog kings, are awesome, by the way. Yeah, I got to get them on the show. I saw that our friend Scott Belfort of the Walk-Off Podcast actually caught them at the ball game the other night too. I was glad he finally got to meet him. So
I think they might be at the next baseball town night or whatever. Very excited for that.
I think they might be too. And yes. I might be there for that too. I might be coming up and goofing around. So we'll have to have a beer.
So I tried to shake him down, but like the thing is that he's not going to say anything. So as it gets worse. So, So I've been like shaking everybody down for as much as I can. I was at, I got batting practice access.
Yep.
And so I saw like some Sportsnet reporters there and I was like, what do you know? Well, I'm just shaking. And nobody has any gossip. I'm like, what do you think is going to happen? What's the gossip? Everyone's like, we don't know.
Did you get all chummy up with Hazel May and Nicole Smith? And
I got Hazel May because Hazel May is a hero of mine. And she took a lovely
picture. That's because she's awesome.
She took a lovely picture with my nephew. I tweeted it out, which was amazing. I was talking to Keegan Matheson and Mike Wilner, just like anybody kind of I ran into. to get some gossip.
So on the rest of that note, how was the batting experiences? We were talking about that you were going to get to go to batting practice the last time you happened to be on the show. Give some Blue Jays fans some insights to your awesomeness that you got to be a part of there to start a game. Because that was it last week that you were there for that?
Hold on, you went a bit choppy there. It's probably my farm, yeah. My farm internet. There we go. So this is the deal with batting practice.
Yep.
It was way better than I thought it was going to be. I thought that I'd go down there and, like, I'd be down there for, like, a half an hour and that'd be it. But I was down there for, like, a good 2 hours just shouting at people and players.
Sounds like you got the full experience out of that. The only thing I've ever seen as far as people joining in or and being a fan experience on that, we're friends with Brian Parrup, who is the gentleman that does all the baseball card giveaways and stuff like that. I'm sure a lot of people have seen him on Instagram, TikTok, and all that kind of stuff. And if you haven't given him a follow, it's one of the funnest guys you can follow. We had him on the show a couple of times to talk baseball cards and just baseball in general. Got some great stories out of him. But seeing some of the things that he does, he's going to those events and down at batting practice, and he's got a big box of Topps baseball cards, and he's just handing them out, and he's ripping packs open with players and stuff like that. So
that's sick.
If you got any piece to that, that's awesome that you were able to get into that. So
Kevin Kiermaier came over, and I was like, Kev, who's such a babe in real life, you think you're gonna get it lost in his eyes? His arms are just as good. Yep. And I'm like,
you just like fainted on him.
And I gave one of my cards to him to give to Bo. I'm like, give it to Bo. And then I never saw Bo again. But I tried to flush Bo out. But
Double K probably was that comedian that would have given that card over to Bo, though.
Yeah.
Regardless. So,
but the biggest part of my surprise and chagrin was the nicest guy was Aaron Judge.
I've heard he's a very class act.
Yeah, he came over, he signed balls for me and my nephew. It was beautiful.
That's awesome. And you don't hear of too many great Yankees fan stories being a Blue Jay fan story. So that's a nice one to hear, because everything I've heard from Aaron Judge, it's not the fact that he's obviously just one of the better hitters in Major League Baseball. It's he's a well-rounded individual and really wears the C that he gets to wear every day for the captain as a Yankees player. So it's good to know that there are some good people out there in the midst of this whole thing too. And that only helps, because for every good story, you usually don't hear all those kind of good stories, right? You always hear the guy punching the kid that was an umpire at the, Little League game a couple months ago. It's like, oh my God, the world needs some better good stories, not just the gloom and doom all day. So let's get back to talking about this team. So up and down that whole Yankee series, literally blowouts going back and forth, trading with the Yankees, trading blows to that point of where you were talking about. It's like either just pick a direction, right? So it was nice to see the offense finally starting to show for this team. But like you said, it's probably a little too late at this point. What do you think as far as what we've seen over the last few games with the Yankees on the offense side, along with what we've seen so far in this Astros? It's been similar, I think, at this point, offensively. I'm still being choppy.
You blipped out there. Sorry. You blipped out there. I missed that for a second.
I was just curious how your opinions of this offense being so glitchy lately, up and down. I guess we lost her for a minute. We'll get her back in a minute. So Blue Jays fans, we see you out there on the, Twitter, Instagram, everything. So please make sure you give us some comments and things of what you're thinking while we're talking this evening. We love to hear the everything we can from the Peanut Gallery and go from there. So make sure you give us some chats and stuff. And it looks like Liz might be back. So Liz, any better?
Back. Sorry, guys. We're back. Sorry. It's this rural internet. It's killing me.
It's how it is everywhere. And, once you get out a little bit out of the city, right? How it is here in Rochester, even. I have to have my computer plugged hardwired into my, internet, period. I don't get to have the Wi-Fi working when I'm doing the show. So on that note, Liz, what I was asking was, the offense has been up, down, and all over the place. And what's your opinion? Can this team actually bang still? Or is this one of those things that we're just going to see it like this, do you think, for the rest of the year?
I think I don't believe in this. Okay, this is me sounding like the worst, but I don't believe in this offense consistently. I don't think they have it. You know, I look at Bo, and Bo's so frustrated. Springer shows up, you know, halfway through the season. I think it's going to be streaky. I don't know. I don't know. I don't believe in it. Other than Vladdy and consistency, I have a hard time with this general offense. Yeah, I don't think they have the grit to get it done either. This is like me being the worst, but it's like when we're down like two or things get close, they just don't seem to be able to come back. So I don't know.
Well, just even give the game last night, we barely squeaked that one out. And then the other fun part is, why the hell are they still pitching to Yordan Alvarez? The guy's a monster.
Why? He, I was watching the Astros broadcast. He's like, this guy owns Toronto. And I was like, oh, he does.
Yeah, it's like, I'll even go back to the Red Sox series. Rob Refsnyder, for some reason, just destroys the the Blue Jays. I'm trying to think of some guys that, you know, Alex Verdugo's having a horrible season, always finds a way to match against the Blue Jays, especially in Toronto.
I don't know. It's like even like Mountcastle, which we know, but like.
Yes. Mountcastle is 100% one of those guys, and way too many people in that Orioles lineup have found their way to just mash against the Blue Jays. But to that point,
yeah,
I still think that I think they're the best offense in baseball. They are very young, very talented, ready to go. You know, when you have their B guys like Colton Cowser and stuff, and you know, the Orioles uniforms, and he's got 15 home runs.
They're they're so cool. Like, you look at that, and you're like, you guys are awesome. Like, I can't even hate.
No, I'm loving the story of Lettuce, the Baltimore Orioles this year. I just hope by the time we're good, they suck again. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, this is one of my whole problem with last year. Even with last year, it was like we had an opportunity when the Yankees were bad and Boston was bad. Yeah, the Orioles were good, but we could have been in that, you know?
Yeah. I feel the Orioles are doing what we tried to do over the last 5 years, and they did it better.
Yeah, the thing is, like, so when I look at the Orioles, I'm like, that could be us. It could be. Could be the right ownership and management and foresight. Could be.
Yeah. Could be. Never know. But to your point a minute ago, outside this offense, Vlad has figured it out. And I think we talked about it on this show a lot, and I'm sure you noticed this as the avid fan that you are, too. It just seemed like he was starting his swing tools, like, late. You can't get to the fastball, can't do this, can only mash, curveballs. But he is 100% dialed in. Hasn't really changed anything, but there is a distinct timing mechanism that he has been getting loaded up earlier. And by getting loaded up earlier, he's crushing home runs.
Yeah, he mashed one and you knew it was gone. You're like, oh! Right.
Yeah, was the one that in Boston he hit over the Green Monster billboards and everything was 477 some odd feet or something like that. It's just ungodly stuff. And
it's ungodly.
To that point, that's why, you know, I don't think you can rule out the fact that some team is going to just lay out the King's ransom for him. And you are using, I think, if you are going to be the Blue Jays front management, regardless of who's making this trade or not, the Juan Soto trade from Washington Nationals to San Diego Padres, I think, is the mold for that trade. But it's going to be like five monster prospects, and two of those three of those guys are going to be somehow ready for the major leagues because you do have control for them. You know, you're not just getting the rest of this season with Vladdy, you're getting the fact that he's got all next season. So maybe it's not five guys, but it'll be some level of crazy talented. Correct.
And I worry about Vladdy's vibe with the management right now, him making those statements. I'm like,
Oh, you mean like that he, you know, doubled up on the Yankeesism thing, right? So, nope, I'm good.
That's a statement. Same with Bo. Same with Bo saying, you know.
It happens. It's kind of what it sounded like. That one was the one that scared me because it also just sounds the way it was worded. Maybe it was just, you know, I didn't see it in an interview. I only read it. It just is like, oh, okay, great. Then what are you going to do for the rest of the season?
Bye. But that's my thing. It's like, well, that's fine, Bo. Let's recap. Bo has six home runs. Okay? Six.
Yes. He has
How many?
IKF has better stats than him this season.
Like, yeah. So I'm kind of like, well, here's the thing, but you know Bo's going to mash anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried that that's exactly what's going to happen. I just hope that if they do decide to trade Bo and not keep that core together of Vladdy and Bo for one more go next year, which is the quote-unquote thing that the management keeps saying all of a sudden, which I can't say I agree with, because who are you going to have around them? You can't just do the same shit again next year.
No, it's not working. It's not working. It's not working.
So the quickest way to a rebuild is 100% trading the farm at this point. Everybody goes, anybody that's a, you know, you hold on to people like, you know, Horowitz, who's been mashing, but you might be able to get something really good for him in a package with how good he's been playing. He right now, if you look at the last season or last month of Blue Jays baseball, I think Spencer Horowitz is the MVP.
Dude, he's so good. He also he signed my ball and took a handsome selfie with me. Like,
there you go. Yeah, classy guy. I've had a pleasure of having a few talks with him when he was playing in Buffalo. So he's a great guy. Yeah. But Spencer is one of those guys you'd love to root for at the same time because he wasn't the high-end monster prospect.
No,
he's a good hitter. All the rest falls into place. Go ahead.
That's what you want. Like, but that is what you want, though, right? It's like, it is so lovely to see just something work out that we didn't have to, like, you know. I mean, let's talk about our prospects that disappointed us. Nate Pearson, that hurt. That hurt. You know, Biggio hurt. Or anybody we rev up so big, right? Manoa.
Yep.
That's, you know, some to a lesser extent. But it's, yep. And this has been said 1,000 times, we put so much pressure on our prospect next year. Yeah.
If I'm able to take the crystal ball right now and look through and see what the hell the, you know, beginning of the 2025 spring training looks like, coming into spring training next year with our pitching, if they don't trade all of them and hold on to a couple of them, you keep, you know, hopefully Ricky Tiedemann keeps doing what he's doing in his, you know, rehabilitation that he's doing in the minor leagues. Alek Manoah obviously just had the Tommy John surgery out of nowhere, by the way. Speaking of holding your cards too close to the chest in the front office, nobody had any clue that Alek Manoah was going to have that done. He comes back about this time next year and tries to ramp back up because it's a good year to be able to do that, especially for a starting pitcher. But there's enough pieces here that a five-man rotation doesn't look bad. And you buy a couple of bargain bin dives off of the thing, and then you may be able to piece something together that looks very Pittsburgh Pirates-ish right now, which is not a bad thing. And if you were able to turn around and trade, like we were talking about a moment ago, to get some good, almost major league ready, or give them some audition pieces, spring training could be very fun next year again.
Super fun.
Right off the bat. And to your point, I'd rather hit the reset button and go that direction myself. But I do want to see them put something on the field this year. And I can only hang my hat on watching Spencer Horowitz so much. It's the unfortunate catch, right?
I think that's it. I mean, I think that's it for me. I would never say it's a write-off, although it is. But I still want to have a good time. I still want to go to the ball game and scream at the calls. But
I'll be there.
You know, I'll always be there. But
the day at the ballpark is still better than a day at most places.
For real. I just need a vision, though. I need a vision for the future and a plan to execute so that I remember thinking, even at the end or some dull spots last year, almost of last season, I thought I'd feel better if we were in a rebuild. If I thought that we were in a rebuild, I would feel better.
Yeah. Or at least knowing it was coming. You know, I feel like Blue Jays fans right now are being lied to and cheated by the fact that we all know that it's coming, but no,
and we love our guys.
We're not doing anything like
that. We believe in our guys, Craig. We believe in our guys.
I believe in them too, but I believe they are worth more than what we're getting out of the, you know, first round knockout of the playoffs ballpark. You know, I can't. I don't know if we rode this team somehow by literally an act of God at this point. And just to be I'm not the churchiest person except for the Church of Baseball.
Respect.
It's literally getting to that point that this team would have to go on a tear that was bigger than what the 2015 Blue Jays did after all the trades to get to the playoffs. Not to do well in it, just to get
there.
So at this point, I don't understand how you're, you know, quote unquote, going to the core here, other than core of trading. That's just what it is, I think, at this point. And I think Blue Jays fans are ready for it. They're not happy that we're in the situation that we're in. But I think the general consensus amongst Blue Jays fans and fans listening into the show, please hit us from the peanut gallery and tell us what's going on here. Give us some comments and questions. But I think we're ready for it. It's just, maybe it does mean hold on to Vlad or Bo. But what does that picture look like if you were in the driver's seat, just out of curiosity?
And, like, I think I read a quote somewhere that's like, you know what? You know what we got from this ownership? Cup holders. We got cup holders, my guy.
It's one of cup my favorite holders. Ones.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
I think the other one was Shapiro's really good at doing good buildings. Because we got the player facility. We got the players facility in Dunedin. We got the new renovations to the ballpark. You got all the stuff that we've gotten, obviously, in the Rogers Center, and all those are perfect at this point. It looks like a brand new ballpark that was built recently. And then I'm even going to throw another weird one out here for you. All the renovations that happened in Buffalo, New York, for the Blue Jays to play there. That money had to come from somewhere. So, and the facilities at the Buffalo Bisons facilities are immensely improved because of that same adventure.
Yeah.
So to your point, yeah, quick, build it. Okay. I would love to have a build of a team now. Can you work on that?
we did the infrastructure. We did the buildings. Put a winning team on the field to fill those buildings.
Correct. And put asses in the seats. That's how you make money. That's how this whole industry works. Baseball is a business. And teams that win ball games tend to make more money. It's just how it is. It's simple math.
I wonder when we're going to see a leg. This is why I want the Expos to come back, so that it splits the market, right? Because we're Canada's team, we're not going to see, I believe, that shrink right away in lower attendance. It's going to take a while, but it eventually will
come. I'd say maybe TV ratings.
Yeah.
Not at the ballpark. So, but to your point, I would love to see the Expos back. I think it was a cheated effort for Major League Baseball to take that team and move it from Montreal to Washington, D.C. here in the States. Baseball is still alive and kicking in Montreal. I've been there enough times to see that there's still people wearing around Montreal Expo stuff all day, every day, just kind of waiting for Major League Baseball to get their head back in the game, literally, and try to get this going again. Because that is something, to your point, Liz, that is going to happen in the next couple of years. If it's not the Expos, they're talking about adding at least two teams in the next few years.
MLB hates Canada.
I won't disagree with that. It's just how it is as far as that piece goes. I just really don't get it, because you have a nation of hungry baseball fans that would love to have a team back and have, or even if it wasn't Montreal, Vancouver, fact that they sell out the Nat Bailey constantly.
Give Vancouver a team. Like, hell yeah. Like, that'd be just, I don't know. I think that we have the market. I always think it's really funny when players don't want to go to Toronto, but they'll go to, like, I don't know, some small regional team. But, like, we're multicultural. We're a world-class city, you know? Anyway. It's like that with the Raptors, too. They're like, we would rather go to, like, I don't know, Iowa, you know? Because we know that versus, like, Toronto, where it's snowy. And they're like, we're like, nah.
You just gave me, like, the biggest Wayne's World vibes there, if you've seen that movie, where they're like, you know, they were pretending they were doing the show and the background's changing behind them. And it's like, hey, look, I'm in New York and I'm in Delaware.
It also reminded me, so that's my favorite movie of all time. And my favorite quote from that movie, which I will say, which is like this team, is there's a quote where Noah from Noah's Arcade is talking to Garth. And he says, it's like the kids, there's a game, it's called Xantar's Gelatinous Cube, where when Xantar eats the gelatinous cube eats a chieftain, you ascend to the next level. The thing is, there is no next level, and kids just keep coughing in quarters. And I'm like, that's this team.
That's the Blue Jays. That's us fans.
And kids just keep coughing in quarters, like putting in quarters.
Yeah, that's just to say it. Back here, no stairway. Denied.
No stairway. Denied.
So I got to say that. That's a perfect analogy, by the way, because that's what I feel like we're all doing. We're trying to get to we're all hamsters right now,
hoping
that
we're going
to get the next hashtag next level. Hashtag need a food pellet from the feeder bowl or whatever you need at this point, right? Because I think that was one of the other ones that came up recently. It was like, oh, there's Nelly. We're sitting there going like this, going playoffs and wins, please. And there's nothing coming out of it. So, but. Tis what it is. I hate to say it, but the Blue Jays are, I just don't know how you avoid it at this point. The fans are more realistic than the front office is 100% acting anyways. I think they know it. They're just trying to your point, make sure the season ticket sales don't tank, which is funny because all the fans that buy season tickets are like us, hardcore about it, want to make sure they're
less and less. They're like, we get nothing anymore. I was talking to somebody. She's like, we got a lanyard. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and I was to that point, they moved home plate lady to the right, just saying.
Dude, and where's Geddy Lee? Where is Geddy Lee? So, like, but, like, this is the thing. It's like, if you were honest with us and said, you know what, it's been hard times, we're sorry, stick with us, you know, kids get in for free next year.
There's worse things.
Right? Point, other teams have done that. Other teams were like,
you get people. Yeah, I can't. Honestly, we might have been talking about the team a minute ago. I might have been the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, and they were honest. They said, kids get in free next year because we're doing a rebuild.
Yeah.
And that's how you treat your NCAA.
But if that's what you, those kind of things you got to do, or make it like discount ticket night or something like that.
Yeah,
or
don't like, you know, lie.
You're not going to go so far on loony hot dogs, you know?
No, you're not.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're not, but like, just be honest and just be like, hey, it's not what we wanted. We're disappointed too. You know, free hat night. I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. Free hat night. So maybe it's just because, you know, you and I were talking before the show and we both are managers for our day jobs and do what we do. And how many situations have you been in with a customer, a colleague, a bad situation with whatever you're working on and the boss comes knocking, right? Hey, I heard we screwed up. What's going on? Every one of those conversations, I start off with saying, we had a plan. We stuck to it. We screwed it up, but we had a plan.
We had a plan. This
is what I'm going to do to fix it. Yeah. There's always the last
That's it.
Part.
You got to do it.
You can't even get them to do the point here where we're like basically in the AA meeting where they stand up in front of the crowd and say, we made a mistake. I'm sorry.
That's it.
I'm Ross Atkins. I'm the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and I done fucked up.
And I'd be like, okay, yeah, man. Yeah, we're in this together. It would be like a we're in this together moment. But it's no, it's fix your tie.
Yeah, fix your tie. Don't worry about it. Go sit back and hope that you're going to have a job.
Tip our hats.
I would love to see him actually wearing a baseball hat one time because I don't think he knows baseball because I just think, I don't know if it's the hair, it doesn't fit in the hat or something like that or whatever it is. It just seems odd to me. So, yeah. But it is what it is. So on that note, I haven't seen it yet, but the supposedly tonight we were supposed to get right off the hot off the presses, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game stuff. Last we knew, we had one guy that really earned it. And actually, I might have just hit the refresh button right at the right time. We got that one guy.
Yay!
Is 100% locked in at this point.
For that one guy. For the one guy. This is
well,
and so was the MLB. MLB wanted that one guy there.
Well, they didn't want it to be an all Orioles team. And to that point, I'm not going to argue with the fact that how many Orioles are on it. I'm looking for the roster for the actual team right now.
So I have a 14-year-old nephew, and he was like, we're talking with the young Orioles team, and he's like, all the boys are gorgeous. And I'm like, I was like, in terms of them look like sweet baby angels, they have a team full of these sweet baby angel-looking kids.
They do. And so obviously seeing you have you're in the baseball card community now, have you seen the Jackson Holiday rookie card?
Absolutely I have. What a glorious guy. It's the It's the take on the baseball bat. It's the like asshole.
The Billy Ripken.
It's
an F face on the button knob of the bat. And then the story for Billy Ripken was that was his rookie year. The guys were hazing him. He's Cal's brother. They got to have a little fun with him. So somebody wrote that on the knob of the bat and said, here you go. And they tossed it to him. And he pulls the thing up and it says F face.
F face. Oh, I love that card though. I love both those cards. They're great.
Yeah. The better part of that whole thing is Topps releases them to the wild with the word fuck on it. and they tried to get them back. So it didn't quite work out so much for them. So if anybody wants to see a cool baseball story, go look that up, the Billy Ripken rookie card, and see how much fun it is.
It's so clear.
But to
so anybody who's making that card was in on it, because you would have to be blind to not at some point see that.
Yeah, now you're sounding like a conspiracy theorist.
Absolutely. Tinfoil hats, let's go.
There you go. So, but on that note, it's just the sillyisms of things like that. But the new card that we were talking about, Jackson Holliday, rookie card, one of the best young talents possibly coming to the major leagues, even sooner than we thought. It sounds like the Orioles are going to give him a second chance here in the near future. So the bottom of the bat says fun face on it, or smile face, or something like that instead of but then they did all the little variations where he had it like censored out, like a black bar and black all these box, kind of fun things, so that Topps had some fun with it. I'm upset that they are owned by Fanatics now, but the fact that Topps is still apparently being allowed to be Topps, it's still been a good thing, because as far as many of the things that you and I are wearing and everything, the fact that everything in the world comes from Fanatics right now, sports related, is driving me humanly possibly nuts. And I'm hoping they're not a sponsor of the show behind Fansided, but I don't care. I don't know. Don't give a shit. They can screw themselves.
For a second. I'm speaking to Fanatics for a second here. When I first moved to Toronto 10 years ago, 13 years ago, I bought a majestic Carlos Delgado player shirt. I didn't pick LMR. I was like, and it's so stiff. It holds up so good. That shirt crushes. It like is the best shirt I've ever owned. And like, I bought one for my brother, Romano player shirt. That thing's like done. It's like cooked.
So I was just at the minor league team here in Rochester, New York, the Rochester Red Wings the other night. And they had Dylan Cruz, one of the best young talent in Major League Baseball. And James Woods just actually got promoted to the Nationals from the Rochester Red Wings. Yep. But so I was like, I'm going to go in the shop and see if there's anything cool, right? So I go in and I'm looking at, they had the new jerseys there, and they had them on the wall right next to the shirt jerseys. Okay. I could not tell them two apart.
Oof, there you go. That's your answer.
that's the fun you get with Fanatics right there. Spent $130 American on a minor league baseball jersey for Dylan Cruz or $25.50.
Get that shirt. I mean, I hope they say they're going to fix the jerseys next year. I hope they do.
My problem is they should have done it already.
That was it.
This is a train wreck level of screw up. I don't get it. I really don't, because they literally look like they're iron on. Yeah, there's always so I shouldn't be worrying about an X rating on certain baseball players just because they walked out of the dugout.
It's funny. I was trying to start a movement. I don't know if I successfully did, but in 77, Joe Carter, it was like in the 80s because it was Joe Carter. Yep. Anyway, Joe Carter had a jersey and it said Toronto on it, and he wore it for like six innings before he noticed it. And I tweeted an homage. I'm like, bring back this jersey. Because I would wear the hell.
I saw that the other night.
A Toronto jersey. Let's get that going.
That just sounds right up on level with this Fanatics screw up too.
This is the vibe, right? I'm like, yeah, that feels like the vibe.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't auction off my Chevy Blazer to a fan mid-game.
There you go.
Poor Derek Bell with his rookie year hazing.
That was good. That was great.
So to that point, so let's get back to Vladdy. Obviously, he makes the All-Star game. And to me, it's sneaky how good his season actually has been with how rough it started.
So sneaky.
So lay it on me, Blizz. What are you thinking?
Something about a season being sneaky. He was posting decent numbers. But I argued this throughout. I mean, it didn't matter if he wasn't hitting dingers. That was it.
Yeah.
But he was getting on base. He was taking the walks. He was having decent at-bats. In past years, he was hit. Maybe I'm wrong because I'm like just straight opinioning, but he seemed to be hitting into far less double plays. That was it. He was no longer a rally killer. He was part of the rally. Now, he was not dinging, but he was getting on base, which is so important to me as a baseball fan. Just get
on base. Must be a Moneyball fan.
Yeah, get on base.
So, to that point, I knew things were going to come in the right direction. And like we were talking about earlier, his swing was the problem. And he figured out that piece to get going just a little bit sooner. Yeah. And now that thing is tanking. And what beauty of it is, he's in the top five of hard hit contact percentage and rate in Major League Baseball. And there was one that was really odd to me, that in the list of names that Ryan McMahon was on, that of the Colorado Rockies, and that same breath of air with Vladdy, Judge, Rafael Devers, these guys that just literally full on like apeshit level hard contact, right? Gorilla strength. So it was cool to see him in that ballpark. But to that point, if you're hitting the ball that hard, at some point,
it's gonna work out. It will work out. It will work out. Yeah, that's
consistent hard contact usually wins. So
yeah, and that launch angle was just slightly up, like that's early up. And I'm happy because like I wanted Vladdy to be our guy. Like, you know, like he was like, he said, I want to be in Toronto my whole career. You know, he did say that. That was a statement at the time. And I wanted him to be our guy because, like, he hits clown prints to the Toronto Blue Jays. You know what I mean? He's fun to watch. 100%. He's a fun guy to be, like, to be a fan of. He's just like, because he wants to win.
100%.
But he's not a really, you know, he's going to laugh. He's going to take the, like, he's going to be part of the clubhouse vibes. Right?
Yes. And you need those people just as much. I was, as the guy that was always the clown on every team he ever played. When you're going through rough times, you need somebody that is that, either the wealth of experience or the person that gets you out of your headspace. Vlad can actually be both of those guys.
Yes, he can.
In a dugout. So that's the beauty of it, that if he knows you need a laugh, you just see the stupid stuff he's been doing with Springer. And finally see him coming out of it a little bit here to get back into Springerisms.
And that's a good teammate.
He actually has a spring in his step, just saying.
Yeah, that's a good teammate, though. I think Vladdy is a good teammate.
Correct. So those are the intangibles that you get from somebody like him. But so I'm going to present a little bit of a random here. We were talking about trading, right? So let's say everybody gets fired.
Yeah.
The end of the season happens and you still have Vlad and Bo or one of them.
Okay.
Do you think new management, or at least new general manager, actually can close a deal on Vlad Jr., regardless of who it is? Like I said, just insert random, you know, perfect guy in your head, because that's never going to happen either. But at the end of the day, do you think somebody else could get this done with locking up Vladdy long-term, where Atkins could not?
I think I have to believe that, and I'm going to believe that. The thing is this. Go. We know Rodgers is like one of the third richest owners in baseball, or they're the top five. Yeah, if they want it, we have to want it more. We have to want it more, right?
Yeah.
That's it. We have to, like...
Go ahead. Sorry, finish that thought.
And pay him a boatload of money. Secure him. If the question was, could we get Vladdy and Blow, my answer would be no. I don't think so. I'd be shocked if we
did that. I don't think you get the two.
I don't even think I want that. I actually do not. And like I said, I don't want that. I would pick Vladdy over Bo at this point. That being said,
I think I would have even done that over the long-term period. If we were having this conversation 3 years ago, I would have told you probably my pick to lock up long-term would have been Vlad, just because of many a multitudes of reasons. But I love Bo Bichette. Do not get me wrong.
Yeah,
that is not the
he
part
almost
to
killed
that.
Me, and I still love the man. Yeah.
There is that. So, but to that point, like I said, you could trade one of these high budget pitchers this trade deadline and turn around and just hand that money to Vlad. You know, there's not a loss in the aggregate at that point. You know what I mean? You get, let's say somebody at this trade deadline thinks they can resurrect Kevin Gausman, who's been having a horrid year. And I feel bad for the man because he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball the last 3-4 years, and just to take a turn the way, and you've seen the glimpses of it, the couple of games where the splitter is just diving and he's up and down and working in and out with the pitches, it's there. Something's off this year, whatever it is, and Pete Walker and company haven't been able to help him figure out what last tidbit is to get him back locked in. Somebody else might have that. So let's say you trade Gausman or you trade Bassett. I don't see them moving Barrios' contract, but that's perfectly fine with me because I love Jose Barrios. I've been watching him since he was pitching for the Twins organization here in Rochester, New York. He's been a kind of like a
Matt, had a hard selfish night last one. Night. Had a hard night
yes,
last
he did.
Time, my guy. Yep.
But that's because he pitched to Yordan Alvarez. We already talked this one. Yeah. If he didn't do that, it would have been fine. Sure. So to that point, I think you can move on those guys, and then you would still look at the payroll for next year and be like, okay, great. We lost this person. We could, okay, great. Let's offer Vladdy the $30 million a year or whatever he wants and get this deal done and get it on paper. But to that point, Ross Atkins isn't going to have the balls or even probably the leverage to do that anymore.
No.
So it's going to have to be that next person up.
I think, and here's the thing. I worry because you know who people know on the team? Vladdy. Vladdy and Bo. Casual fans know Vladdy and Bo. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You need one of those guys that people want to wear their jersey.
Yes.
And I think that.
Go ahead.
I think that without that, like, and my heart will break. If we do not re-sign Vladdy, my heart will be broken.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But it will be such a failure. And it will all have to look at that failure together. And that will be a hard time of mourning for us, friend. Like, that will be hard.
I'm going to compare that if you lose Vlad and you lose Bo to the fact that this is going to feel like when you had to trade Roy Halladay. This is going to feel like when we couldn't lock up Carlos Delgado for another 10-year to continue through things. It's going to feel like losing Roberto Alomar in 1996 to the Orioles. It's going to be all those things.
Yeah.
It's going to feel very – it's going to just – I think the Blue Jays fan base could survive if they trade one, the other, or traded everything and went for the full rebuild right now, right? But if you lose them that way, just flat out to free agency trying it, you might as well just drive a dagger through all our hearts, because like it's a cold, calculated baseball decision if you trade them, right?
Yeah,
the team's gonna get better. We're going to bring these people in, and you just hope you don't screw it up like that Roy Halladay trade I just mentioned. But,
right.
There's a chance to get better from it. If you lose them to free agency, you're talking that's a 5-year development window for that draft pick to come around and actually be anything at the major league level for that compensation pick. It is not an overnight change
to lose
a player to free agency. Go ahead.
I don't trust his management. That's the whole point. And we'll go in circles, but like, that's it. I don't trust him.
Yeah. So Liz, I'm going to lay out the rest of the all-star team here for you for the American League. And we'll let you pick if you have any topics you want to talk off before we end the hour here. We'll get to that too, obviously. So I mentioned Vladdy, third selection at first base, voted in by the fans. It kills me that Jose Altuve gets another all-star game at second base. I don't see it, especially with the Astros having the horrible start they had. Finally, they found it, but he hasn't been the center of that.
Nope.
Shortstop.
People know him. They're like, oh, he's an all-star. He's an all-star.
That's what kills me about the all-star ballot, but that's besides the point. Got one right here. Gunnar Henderson has been the, all things that you can say right in baseball this year as far as an individual player. Class act, hell of a player.
He's one of the
leading a team. Correct. Leading a team back to the promised land. Perfect. Yeah. First all-star selection, first start, obviously. Jose Ramirez having a monster year Guardians.
Bash against the Jays in the Guardian series I was at a couple, like last week, 2 weeks ago. Damn, I wanted him, the Naylor brothers, and that closer.
The Naylor brothers, oh my God, too. To that point, very, very good stuff. Adley Rutschman, another Oriole, obviously, catcher. And it's his actual first selection. It, obviously, second All-Star. No, I take it back. Was it his second All-Star game? He was in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, last year was Home Run Derby. His dad pitched to him.
Yep. I just didn't know if he was just the guy that was there for the Home Run Derby, because they did that a couple of times. Vlad, obviously, being the first time he was at the All-Star game. It says first starter election. Sorry, I take that
first
back.
First starter. There you go. Well, good for him.
So there it is. And then we got Judge, Soto, and Stephen Kwan. I am so happy to see that Stephen Kwan actually won, because holy shnikes, he's having a year.
He's so good. Kwan hasn't been like a big deal, but when I was at the games at Cleveland, I was like, who is this man? He's amazing. Like, look at his stats. He's amazing. Yeah. He's not a big home run hitter. He just gets on base. Like,
he reminds me very much of a Tony Gwynn style hitter that you don't see in baseball anymore. And this year, the power's starting to show up, which is even more enticing for our Guardians fans. I've been loving Stephen Kwan for a few years, because his rookie season, my brother and I had him in our, we have a $200 buy-in fantasy baseball league. So, and he led us right to the promised land that year, and we won it all.
Good for Kwan. Good for him, man. Yeah.
So. But then on flip side of the ball, National League, we got some. I think they did really good. Outside of the Jose Altuve vote, right, I think the fans got it pretty good here. Bryce Harper at first.
I love starting Bryce Harper. Not everybody loves Bryce Harper. I love watching him play. I love that he's a giant babe. He's kind of a jerk. I love it.
He wears Philly mannerisms all day, every day on the field, and he fits that town so good. The only player I've seen fit a town better was when Rowdy Tellez played in Milwaukee.
Oh, good call. He's ready for a barbecue, our boy Rowdy.
Exactly. Needed a tailgate party. And that, funny enough, like I said, a stupid conversation with him at Buffalo Bison event is where we got the tagline for the show that we're the barroom chat for Blue Jays fans. So that's how that happened. Second base, Kenta Marte. That's a pretty good one, too. But he's having a little bit of a down year compared to the last year. But to that point, riding the World Series, appearance for that. I'm not going to knock that one. Trey Turner, monster at shortstop.
Right on. Good for Trey.
Alec Bohm, first All-Star selection. Yep. That's a good one. I like Alec Bohm. I really love that they got him in there because he deserves it. Good catcher pick here, William Contreras of the Brewers. Really? That was a surprise to me because I figured just because he played for the Brewers, he wasn't going to make it, even though he has been probably the best National League catcher. And then, no shock here, designated hitter in the National League is Shohei Ohtani. And I forgot to mention that Yordan Alvarez was the one in the American League. So, how are you feeling? Does that look like a good roster for you for who deserves it?
Looks like I'm going National League this year. Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but those are pretty clear kind of picks.
Yeah. So as far as that kind of thing goes, who do you think deserves to make it in the players voting in part? Is there anybody? I think there's one Blue Jay that I would love to see because I think he's until that start we just mentioned a minute ago. Jose Berríos is having an All-Star season. I would love to see him get picked as one of the pitchers.
Yeah, I hope he gets it. That's a good question. I actually don't know if I have anybody who I think should have gotten in on the players voting because it's more technical, right? Like I'm sitting here in my bias of this is my jam. This is who I like the most, but it's I love to see who the players pick, right?
Yes.
Who is the player? Because they know who's an asshole. They know who deserves to be there. They have but it's true. They have the inside scoop of
100% because they were in the locker rooms and hearing things from other players that played with them. They know everything. Yep. So all ears everywhere.
What about you? Who do you think, who'd you like to see in the player vote?
Like I said, I think Berríos is one of those guys I need to see in there. I really do. But I don't think there's any other Blue Jays that deserve to make this team. It's just unfortunately how it is.
Everybody knew it this year. They're just vote for Vlad. He's the only one guy that should be there.
There it is. So we actually have some stuff coming in here that I'll get to in a minute. I had one on the tip of my tongue and I lost it. Oh, the one I got right in there, Freddie Freeman. Okay, having a monster season for the Dodgers.
I love the Dodgers. I hate monster Dodgers. Dodgers are I'm having a great time watching them.
I just always loved Freddie Freeman since the day, I won't say I saw him playing Canadian baseball, but Freddie Freeman's one of those guys that's just a stud.
God, I love him. Watch him weep for his mother. You're you're the awesomest dude. You're an awesome guy.
Yep. And to that point, having one of the best seasons in baseball, and when you're not going to be able to send Mookie Betts to the All-Star game because he's hurt, I think you got to send Freddie. This is how it is. But to that point, I'm going to ask this other question because the other person I want to see is the what the heck's his name, Jackson Merrill. I want to see make it for the Padres, and I wish Paul Skeens was allowed to be in this game, but he doesn't technically make the cutoff to play enough games in major leagues to be voted for that. But I would have loved to see him just come out for an inning, his best Alek Manoah impression and throw three punchies and walk off.
Out of there, three punchies and out. Maybe it's best he doesn't.
Yep. So I got a couple of comments that have come in. So Buckman.
Did somebody ask for Buck Martinez?
So Brock King put this one up. And I hope you can see it because you should be able to. So Brock, awesome with the comment, but you're 100% right that very bad toward the right-handed. I don't know how they can't hit it. I really don't. They're all – it is what it is, but I don't know. It didn't change anything as far as dominant hands go, I guess, but some of the guys got to get some things going. Yeah. So Blue Jays fans, if you got anything else before we wrap up the show, obviously make sure you hit us up like Brock did on Facebook. Whatever media you happen to be listening on, we get all the messages here on the show. So just hit us up. So Liz, is there anything you want to talk out before we do our picks to click here for the next week in Blue Jay baseball?
I think we covered it all. We talked about how handsome Kevin Kiermaier was in real life.
You got it all off your chest is what I'm hearing.
I got it all off my chest.
Do you feel better?
Did we
provide your, you were on the couch here and we had the psychiatry back and forth.
Yeah, it was good. It made me feel good. My other thing we didn't really address is how Springer's just lighting up. Like,
oof. There is that.
There is finally that. And so, again, that's not very useful to have a dude light up halfway through randomly. Like, where have you been? It's nice to see that he's not dead inside and he likes having playing baseball again. But I'm like, I need you to be better, my guy.
It was one of those things that Blue Jays fans were like, oh, wait, we got 2 more years of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it over already?
Is it over? We're seeing like glints of hope, which is nice.
He's above the Mendoza line, so he's batting above 200 now. So that's always a win. So 215 going into tonight's game, and he's walked and already scored the only run in tonight's game. Bo Bichette sack fly drove him in for his 29th RBI. That hurts.
Oh, my God.
That's the part. That's the horrid part. And hopefully we're going to get a nicer outing from Yusei Kikuchi, who has had a rough time missing over the plate his last few
He'll get it. I think he's going to – he'll correct. I believe Kikuchi. With the way that he came back from that bad season. Anyway, I respect him so much.
You talk about somebody that might have some value, or to that fact, maybe the value is for the Blue Jays to make sure they just sign him for next year and keep him in this rotation. So, you know, he's probably at the point he is in his age career. He's only going to get 2-year deals or maybe 1-year deals. It's just how it is when you're at the 34 age line. Yep. So tis what it is. So we're at that point. We get to end the show here by doing our picks to click. So last week I picked Justin Turner, who is currently out on paternity leave, who had a week. Jason picked Spencer Horowitz, who we were all glowing on that earlier in the show.
Yep.
And the guest spot, because we didn't have a guest last week, had the default of the bounce back candidate in Blue Jays stats from the week before. It was Danny Jansen. And who is also on paternity leave. So noticing a trend.
I tweeted out that when we don't hit dingers, we sure can dong. There you go.
Yep. So on that note, I'm going to let you vote for which one of those three actually had the best week. And I think it might've been clear cut from our conversation
on that one.
Yep.
Our guy Spence, who looks like
as much as I'm going to loathe our buddy Jason, who is currently having a great time with his kids at the ballpark because they won their first games in the tournament. Yep. So they had to keep going tonight over on the Vancouver side of the country. But that is his third week in a row. He's killing me.
Oh, man. Yeah, Horowitz looks like a Bradley Cooper type handsome man in a made-for-TV movie about Bradley Cooper.
He's going to play him in his best time. Huh? So on that note, because you are here as our guest this evening, you get the first pick, Liz, on the who's going to have the best week in Blue Jays baseball. And I guess we're going to kind of quasi count tonight, and you are going to count Vladdy. So
I think that one would. I'm celebrating his All-Star appearance tonight that we had somebody that I can yell at in their orange uniforms.
There you go. And then the blackout jerseys tonight, obviously being going on. So now I got to pick who had for Jason, because he is not here. I got to pick the worst performer, worst everyday player in Blue Jays hitting last week is the default pick. And unfortunately, last week, that was 100% Dalton Varsho with 12 strikeouts.
Oh, Varsho.
In 7 days.
Wow. Oh, my God. Ouch. Man, baseball's so streaky. Why? Why?
Yeah. Church of baseball can be a horrible thing, like we were talking about earlier. Yep. So who do I want to pick here? I would love to pick three guys, but they're all on paternity leave. So you know what? I'm going to say that Bo maybe actually bounces back a little bit. I'm going to say that RBI he just had, I'm just going to say that as I haven't picked him yet this year.
All right.
Many reasons why. I'm going to roll the dice and see if I can get back in the win column with Bo this week. Respect. Hopefully maybe Vladdy's winning ways all of a sudden starts rubbing off on him. So is there anything else you would like to talk out or any shameless self-promoting you would like to do, Liz, for your baseball cards or anything that you got going on?
I'm hanging out in the country. I'm going to rehab. I've got to feed some sheep at some point. That's it. I'm just like, honestly, it's been such a whirlwind. I just need some time to like have a nap in the country. Oh, I have a bass boat that I'm going to try and get running. See if I can get that. It's called Radio Bingo. So I'm going to promote my bass boat that never runs, which is named the Radio Bingo.
There you go. Perfect. Sounds like a heck of a weekend you got planned. So I hope you enjoy your trip, obviously, and enjoy you out being out in the country. It's always been a pleasure having you on the show the last couple of times. Obviously, we're gonna keep rolling this.
Respect. I wanna be here.
So hold on the show for a minute, and I'll talk to you about some other things that are going on. But Blue Jays fans, thank you very much. We see all of you in the show this evening. Be like Brock King here. Message us. We want to hear, like I said, the comments from the peanut gallery. You know, when things are bad on this show, because we are the barroom chat for Blue Jays baseball. So we want to hear like the actual peanuts hitting the TV while we're talking, beer bottles breaking, whatever it is at that point. We're all frustrated with you. We're here to be your psychiatry, your person to talk it out with, whatever it might be. And then when things turn around and things are good again, you get to all cheer with all of us all over again. So on that note, make sure you listen in live. We're normally on Thursday evenings, but I will be at the Rochester Red Wings game watching the Buffalo Bisons tomorrow night. So that's why we're here on a Wednesday evening. We'll be back Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Western. So make sure you tune in live and have your comments here. And if you miss us live, make sure you listen to wherever you can get your podcast pleasures from, whether it's on Apple, Spotify, whatever it might be. I promise you we're there. So until next week, everybody, go Blue Jays and have a nice weekend. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
And we're clear.
Hey, buddy! Woo! Okay, I gotta tell you what's going on with me. It's super fucking awesome.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.